the regression in the audit outcome with an unqualified audit in 15-16, 16-17, qualified 17-18, qualified, and then 2018-19 disclaimer. The AG highlighted 11 issues that led to the disclaimer in the year under review, including but not limited to property, plant, equipment, change in accounting policy, unspent conditional grants and revenue from non-exchange transactions, receivable from non-exchange transactions, subsidies received in advance revenue from non-exchange transaction, operational subsidy and bad debts written off, fair revenue, commitments, risk management, irregular expenditure, fruitless and useful expenditure, cash flow statement, and statement of comparison of budgets and actual amounts. If you're looking at irregular expenditure, the year under review stands at 27.3 billion rands. And then, of course, the list goes on and on of issues. So it was on that basis that the hearing was scheduled. Ordinarily, we were scheduled to meet at 9 this morning, but we received correspondence from the minister, which we took positively, that you are appearing before another committee this morning. It would not have been possible, and to avoid wasting the resources of the state traveling back and forth, and the committee was agreeable to meet in this evening. And so for anyone who's wondering why we're working now, it was in the spirit of ensuring that we don't duplicate activities of the committees in a manner which is unfair. So, Honourable Minister, Deputy Minister, DG, the Chairperson of the Board and the CEO in the Management and Leadership of PROSPER and the Department, welcome. It is on that basis why we are meeting here today. What we have done is we have split up the hearing into three focus areas, and there are three members who will lead the sections one by one. So what we'll do, we'll give them time and we'll probe their area of focus, and then after that members will tie down on that particular area, and then we'll move to the next one and then the next one, so that we are focused and targeted in the work that we want to do. We are quite unhappy would be an understatement, but I suppose for the purposes of today it works. A disclaimer in our view is not acceptable. The regression, in the extent to which we have seen, compounds that unacceptability. And so we want the answers, because our job is to ask the question, what killed the patient? So we want to know what killed PROSPER, so that we can take you out of ICU. In fact, the morgue, we view a disclaimer as the morgue. Take you to the ICU, general ward, and hopefully then you are discharged. So this process is to enable you to recover, but for us to do that, we need to know who did what. And at the outset, I must say that if there is no consequence management, we will have serious problems. I will deal with housekeeping, the minister will hand over to you. We have received the apology of the chairperson of the board, who is present at a particular time. She has indicated that she would request to leave, but I'm sure we'll be indicated which board members remain. So it dispenses of all the other matters that we wanted to discuss. The final matter is CEO. We can't read this. So already we've got a problem. The schedule here, and I must indicate, also doesn't have the names of the people who are complicit in any of the transactions and transgressions which are cited there. Members will raise it, but they asked me to raise it at the outset. This document has already caused a problem. So, Minister, I won't introduce the members won't introduce themselves. It's Honourable Hadebe with an H in front, Honourable Honorable Lees in the middle, Honorable Van Minen at the far end, and Honorable Somi at the back, and Kulewo Hlengwa. So Minister, will hand over to you to make remarks and for the delegation to introduce itself, and then for the board to take the hot seat as the accounting authority. Welcome the fact that the department is here, including the DG. So from our side, that is the reasons why we are here. The final issue, if your phone rings, this committee will charge you 100 rand. We are fundraising for charity. So I say that, please turn it off or put it on normal concern, i.e. over a bridge. All right, Minister. Deputy Minister, over to you.
Thank you, Chair. I don't know where to start. We start with the introduction first.
That's fine.
We start from the DG side. I think you know me and the Deputy Minister.
Yep.
If you don't know me, I'll charge you 500. So, aside from the DG to up to the chair and the side of the board.
Thank you, Chair. My name is Alec Muemi. I'm the Director General for the Department of Transport.
Thank you, Chairperson. Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. My name is Lisiba Nafosu. I'm the Chief Financial Officer of BRASA. Thank you.
Thank you, Chair, Honourable Members, Honourable Minister and Deputy Minister. My name is Gosena Tseshi and I'm the acting GCO of PRASA.
Thank you, Chair. Evening, Honourable Members, Minister, Deputy Minister. My name is Mwaku Makaipia. I'm the acting DDG Rail Transport in the department.
Thank you, Chair, Honourable Members, Minister, Deputy Minister, my name is Kodisha Mwesi. I'm one of the board members and the chair of the FCIP, which is Finance, Investment, Capital and Procurement.
Good evening, Chair. Good evening, Minister, Deputy Minister, DG, and honorable members. My name is Kanyisile Kweyama Kanyile. I am the chairperson of PRASA.
Good evening, Chair and Honourable Members, Minister, Deputy Minister and the DG. My name is Sango Tsaluba. I am a member of the Board of PRASA and I chair the Audit Committee. Thank you.
Honourable Chair, Honourable Members, Honourable Minister and Honourable Deputy Minister, my name is Dan Pretorius. I'm the Chief Director of Financial Administration and Supply Chain Management at the Department of Transport.
Evening, Chair, Members, Minister, Deputy Minister. My name is Lawrence Vengile, Special Advisor to the Minister.
Thank you very much, Chair. I'd like to indicate in advance that we may not stay for the duration of what you'll be doing because we have to report back to the House as voting will be taking place. In giving context to Chairperson, to the challenges facing PRASA and its performance, it is important to briefly reflect on the performance of the department in the financial year under review. This performance reflects an organization that had no permanent leadership at management level for the last 2 years. The department did not have a director general and had to rely on acting incumbents. Similarly, out of the 8 deputy directors general, 5 of them were acting. When we came into office, we committed that we would move with speed in addressing the challenges of a high vacancy rate in the department. Indeed, we appointed the full-time Director General, Mr. Alec Muyemi, within the first 2 months in office. He has similarly moved swiftly to advertise the vacant positions of Deputy Director Generals, and the process is nearly completion. High vacancy rate in the current economic climate, characterized by high levels of unemployment, are not only unacceptable but hinder the ability of the department to deliver on its mandate. This is equally true in respect of PRASA and all other entities of the department. This is a challenge we have committed to tackle decisively and with the urgency it deserves. The importance of this in the context of PRASA is that the departments must provide leadership and operational oversight. Adequate capacity at this level also means a department able to provide a steady hand that guides and support PRASA in the execution of its mandate. This state of affairs of acting incumbents has replicated itself in PRASA, albeit for a different set of reasons. All CEO positions are occupied by acting incumbents in all PRASA divisions, subsidiaries, and indeed at group level. I wish to assure the committee that processes are underway to finalize the appointment of a full-time group CEO by the end of the current financial year. Progress has been made with the appointment of executives, with the appointment of a chief financial officer, a chief procurement officer, and a group executive for human capital management on the 1st September 2019. All these newly appointed executives are all women, an affirmation of our commitment to women empowerment and recognition of women excellence. Similarly, we are at the tail end of the process to appoint a permanent board whose first order of business is to take extraordinary measures to stabilize operations and ensure that PRASA is able to deliver on its mandate. PRASA's performance remains dismal, having achieved only 26% of its annual predetermined objectives 2018-2019. This is a slight improvement from 21% in the previous year. This is an unacceptable state of affairs, which requires drastic action. We'll strengthen our oversight instruments to include early warning systems that will enable us to intervene timely and ensure PRASA is able to deliver on its predetermined objectives. PRASA's financial performance over the years remains a challenge. Over the last 5 years, PRASA's revenue has declined by 48%, resulting in an untenable situation where its operating deficit reached unacceptable levels of 1.8 billion rand. PRASA remains constrained in its ability to spend its capital budget, resulting in the reduction of its capital budget baseline. While this reduction has significantly affected PRASA's capital projects, it has not, however, affected the rolling stock fleet renewal program, signaling and the general overhaul of Metro Rail and the mainline passenger service coaches. In the year under review, the general overhaul program brought back 351 Metro Rail coaches, one coach short of target. A total of 47 Shosholoza May coaches were overhauled during this period, which was the actual target of GO commitment. Despite this, post-year-end, PRASA has been unable to finalize the award of the new general overhaul contract, which is central to sustaining the current system and accelerate the return to service of coaches that undergo maintenance or refurbishment. In similar vein, the deployment of the new trains is held back by slow progress in delivering requisite infrastructure in identified corridors. These challenges PRASA is facing must be understood against the context of rampant criminality and lawlessness in the environment PRASA operates in. In the year under review, 762 coaches, or 17% of the entire fleet, were affected by acts of vandalism, theft, and arson. Incidents of torching of trains were particularly prevalent in the Western Cape 2018-19. PRASA currently employs 16,350 employees at a cost of 5.6 billion rand, which constitute 49% of its overall budget. We are deeply concerned that the audit outcomes for the year under review are a disclaimer, the worst audit opinion an entity can get from the AG. The work to implement an audit intervention plan that will ensure that we do not return next year with the same audit outcome is underway. This includes the department playing an active role in monitoring the implementation of such a plan. We are deeply concerned that the AG has flagged an irregular expenditure of 27.2 billion rand. This is unacceptable, as this suggests that either there are no systems in place to prevent and detect irregular expenditure, or the systems in place are simply ineffective or ignored. Measures will be put in place to arrest this situation and strengthen prevention interventions. Such measures will include closely monitoring irregular expenditures through the quarterly reports and providing support to enable PRASA to investigate and take appropriate action in order to condone the irregular expenditure and arrest the escalation. The AG further noted fruitless and wasteful expenditure of 383 million rand, the bulk of which relates to transactions where value for money could not be justified. We are equally concerned that the AG believes that the quantum of the fruitless and wasteful expenditure may be more than what it is disclosed in the financial statements. The Director General will closely monitor action taken against officials implicated in the incurring of fruitless and wasteful expenditure across all entities, including PRASA. These actions must include disciplinary action and or recovery of the money incurred by the state in vain. A zero tolerance approach on fruitless and wasteful expenditure will be the order of the day. This will be reinforced by a strong focus on consequence management, which you referred to in your opening remarks. You have my commitment that the days when public servants wasted public resources with impunity are unnumbered. Consequence management will be incorporated as a deliverable when we revise the shareholder compact with all our entities, and will be one of the areas we'll focus on when we evaluate the performance of the board. As part of the interventions to recover the system and improve operational performance, I initiated the war room with a very specific target to improve performance. The Director General guides this effort and provides direct leadership and support to PRASA management towards the achievement of the targets. This intervention was premised on the realization that the high levels of customer dissatisfaction and a decline in passenger patronage, mostly attributable to safety and high levels of crime and vandalism, as well as unpredictable service, were having a devastating effect on the service. Since the inception of the war room, Metro Rail's on-time performance has improved from 49% to 63%, bringing us closer to achieving our goal of 85%. The new trains operating between Pienaarspoort and Pretoria stations register on-time performance of 96%, and I had an opportunity to experience that particular development last week in Pienaarspoort, and passenger numbers are increasing. We want to see the improvement replicated across the country in the PRASA operations. Lastly, our commitment to addressing the chronic challenges which limit PRASA's ability to deliver an efficient, safe, and reliable passenger rail service has never been greater. will also pay close attention to the implementation of measures that ensure PRASA achieves good financial health and employs public resources prudently. I thank you, Chair. I'll now hand over to the DG and the team.
All right. Thank you very much, Minister. What we will do now is that the hearing will start. The context of the turnaround strategy, Minister, that you have given is welcome. But before we satisfy ourselves with it, we will look backwards moving forward and perform our autopsy. So I will request that the board now fields the questions. So first off the bat, we're going to deal with expenditure management, which will be handled by the Honorable Hadebe. Honorable Hadebe, it's 10 to 7. I'm sure you can take us to 7:30, and we'll see how we go.
Yeah.
And then, so the board will field the questions and may make use of the team that is here from the CEO, Umkhaya. And but for the purposes of today, so postpone Umkhaya. So then I should call it a but so Honorable Hadebe, let's hand over to you and then we'll start with the, what we'll do, one question, one response, so that nothing gets lost, and we will, yeah, so we'll move in that fashion. Colleagues, are you fine? Is everybody good? Just the two members that walk by. Honorable, so I might introduce you. Hey, you were here when I did it. All right, so it's Honorable Mende who has joined us there. All right, Honorable Hadebe, over to you.
Thank you, Chairperson, Honorable Minister and Honorable Deputy Minister, the leadership of PRASA, welcome and thank you for availing yourself. As the Honorable Chair has indicated, my focus will be on expenditure management, starting with your irregular, fruitless and wasteful expenditure. So without any further waste of time, Chair, let us kickstart our process. Honorable Minister and the Board, according to Auditor General, your financial statement did not reflect the full extent of the irregular and fruitless expenditure. As per the requirement of Section 51, Subsection 1 of the PFMA. Now, what is more disturbing, Honorable Minister and Chair, is that in the entire public sector, PRASA is ranked one of the highest when it comes to irregular expenditure. The financial year under review, the irregular expenditure amounts to 3.037 billion of rands this financial year alone. Now, 2.5 billion of that is due to competitive bidding process. The 167 is due to contract price extended without obtaining any approval. 118 million of that is due to payment made without a contract, where contract continued over and above the cutoff date. So my first area of focus will be on the issue of fruitless wasteful expenditure. Now, the recommendation from Auditor General when it comes to irregular expenditure, he had this to say, that management should develop and implement a system to prevent, detect, and report all non-compliance matters. Two, that all irregular expenditure should be disclosed in the register. Remember earlier on I said not the entire full extent was disclosed. And lastly, he said consequence management should be implemented for officials who permitted or caused non-compliance with law and regulations. Unfortunately, you have a lot of people who are in acting position, but nature allows no vacuum. So those who are in acting position are given full responsibility to act in those positions with all the powers. Now, the question that I would like to pose, from the recommendation from the Auditor General, has the management implemented the system to prevent, detect, and report non-compliance? Have you disclosed all irregular expenditure in your register? Two, how many officials have been taken to DC?
All right.
How many officials, this all relates to irregular expenditure, and how many officials out of those that have been taken to DC are in top senior management executive position? Are there any officials that have been suspended, taken on special leave to date? How many dismissals? Have you laid any criminal charges? Have you instituted civil litigation to recover money, if any is recoverable? That's my first question in relation to irregular expenditure of 3.037 billion.
All right. Report.
I'm going to be very skeptical if you are off the bat. You would want these responses to come from the board because they are the accounting authority. If there's an intervention that the department requires, it will make it, but it is the board which must field the questions. You are here to support. So I will adopt a Hambagatli approach on your responses. So tell the board it is the one to field the questions.
Thank you, Chair. Thank you, Chair and honourable members. I'm going to hand over to CFO and then I will then complete the rest of the question in respect of disciplinary processes.
All right, CFO.
Thank you, Chair. Thank you, honourable member. In terms of the first question to say, has the annual financial statement reflected all the irregular and fruitless expenditure and whether we've put the systems in place? I'll start with the putting the systems in place. So what has happened is that PASA has not been preparing annual financial statements and information to support annual financial statements on a regular basis. The first time when PRASA prepared annual financial statements was at year end when the auditors are coming together with the supporting information to the annual financial statements. So there is the beginning of a problem because you don't have a system which is consistent throughout the year to ensure that all the financial statements are prepared in accordance with the standards that are required. Supporting information such as irregular expenditures and fruitless and wasteful expenditures reports are also prepared to support the annual financial statements. So what have we done since the audit has finished? When AG raised the issue of irregular expenditure and fruitless and wasteful expenditure from completeness point of view, we have since established what we call an external audit tracker where we're tracking the findings of AG and we're looking at the root cause of each finding that the AG has raised. With particular to fruitless and wasteful expenditure, one of the issues that we've put is to put a report mechanism to say this is how we are going to be tracking this kind of unwanted expenditures going forward. The second thing that we do is training of people. It's one of the elements that we are putting in place to say, how do you identify irregular expenditure? Because you cannot record what you do not know. So when we empowering people to understand what entails irregular expenditure, at what stage do you pick it up? So people are becoming aware of it and recording it. However, this process is still in the beginning. I don't want to create an impression that
what I'm talking about is working, it's running. We're still in the process of teaching people, putting these systems in place. So what I'm saying is that if you call our information, for example, at the end of quarter four, bearing in mind that the AG audit finished in August, you might, I cannot be able to give you an assurance that everything is recorded because we are starting everything from the beginning. Maybe I should have also indicated to the Honorable Member to say that the systems in BRASA have collapsed, hence the disclaimer. If the systems were working very well, an organization will not get a disclaimer report. So we are busy rebuilding that which we should have been having. Now, the other question you've asked is whether we have disclosed all of them. We are picking them as we go along. I cannot give you a guarantee today and say that everything is recorded. I wish I could do that, but I want to be frank with you to say it's a continuous process. It will run its course probably in 12 months or so when AG comes and do an audit to see whether our systems are working properly or not.
Okay, the chair of the board at SEDS will come back and complete the question and then the answer.
Yes. Thank you, Chair. I wanted to pick up on the issue of consequences management. When we were appointed in line with the investigations and findings that the Auditor General had made, investigations had been done at BRASA in terms of people who had caused irregular contracts to take place, as well as fruitless and wasteful expenditure. Disciplinary processes have started taking place in the year under review. There was a total of, I think, 11, I will just need to verify that 100%, disciplinary cases that took place. Of those, two people were dismissed. One person resigned during a disciplinary process on the day that a finding was going to be made. And there is still about six or so that are still at various stages of discipline. Now, as far as the 2018-19, we took a slightly different approach with the Auditor General when we responded to the material irregularities that the Auditor General has raised. We committed ourselves that we would undertake investigations on those as well that relate to the about 17 material irregularities that have been raised in the Auditor General's report. In August, the President issued a proclamation at BRASA that the SIU should come and investigate irregular expenditure, not only in this financial year, but also ranging back from previous years. We have had the SIU present at BRASA for a period of about 6 months, where the initial report has now been issued that has indicated close to 30 or around 30 managers, mostly senior and executive, that should be held accountable for the accumulative material irregularities that have taken place. We have adopted that as a board, and we are now in the process of starting to institute those disciplinary hearings. We should also advise the committee that there is probably at least a third of those that have resigned in the process. In terms of civil claims, in this period...
My apology, Chair. We will come to material irregularities.
Okay.
As per the AG's report, there are 9 matters that have been reflected, and I'll go to them one by one. But now I'm concerned about irregular expenditure. That 3.07 billion, have you identified officials who have embarked on the bidding process that are not competitive, who have not undertaken three code systems as per? You have the report from Auditor General. There are specific cases, but I would like to get an understanding out of those specific cases, now that we have not dealt with the full extent of irregular expenditure, but what has been given, what is in front of you, have you identified the culprits? That's what I'm responsible. Yeah. I'm interested in.
Let's do it this way. The point of departure is the schedule I spoke to earlier, which has got, I'm sure there's 1,000 transactions here plus. Now, the issue for us is we want names. So this schedule is incomplete. We had correctional services yesterday who presented a schedule with what we can only call cherry-picked name insertions into their schedule. And then when we probed, we found that the ones where there was no names, in fact, it was at a very senior level of DDGs. So we don't take any comfort with a schedule which does not trace a transaction to people, because our approach is rent, sense, and people. So I think that is where Honorable Hadem is coming from. The status of this schedule here, I'm sure. Yeah, this is your this one here. Where are the names? Right.
Like I indicated,
it's going to place me in a huge difficulty.
Where you have 2.5 billion of competitive bidding process not being followed. You have a bid adjudication committee who arrive at that decision. We need to know, out of the entire 2.5 billion, who were the people involved in those bidding processes? What action have you taken in relation to those? You have 167 million of contract that exceeded the initial price without approval, including approval from National Treasury. Who are those culprits? What action have you taken? We're still on irregular expenditure. So I was trying to expand and expatiate for you to be able to understand my question. Thank you.
Thanks, Honorable Member. Apologies for going into the next area. I'm going to ask CEO to continue on the schedule.
Right, maybe let's, there was an intervention that DG wanted to make. Let's just hear it and then get the response.
Chair, I know they have to answer, and I accept that that should be the case. The only thing I want to pick up from the background the Minister gave, and also outline the current interface between the Department and what management is doing, because I think that that context will enrich the context which the Minister has actually provided to the committee. In essence, the dilemma we are in, although the succession in at law, but the dilemma we are in is that the financial year under review, we are looking at the majority of the people who cost what is virtually before here are themselves not here. And you have executives who many have just joined on a full time beginning September this year. And you have essentially an interim board that has come in. When it did, there were two financial statements of previous years unfinished. Basically, books that have not been submitted to the AG at the time they are supposed to, and which could only be finished now when the audit comes. The regular things that must happen in between of quarterly financial statements and all of that, including the weak oversight on the part of the department itself. And if you look at it, is the context the minister gives of the many vacancies and what has been happening. As a consequence of this, you are sitting with a new team that is starting to rebuild, really, what the chairperson says has collapsed. So, consequently, I now want to link the interface. The minister has fell just short of placing BRASA under administration because of the collapse, but has introduced a mechanism of a war room, which is a greater interface between this and that. And in there, the minister has given us clear directives about what needs to be done and achieved. And we are drilling down some of the things that have been raised. We are now hard at them with the
Okay. New executives hunting those that have either ducked or resigned just before, or who are mentioned in reports and so on. And we are now at that phase. Unfortunately, one must say that the chair is not wrong. Brasa had collapsed. It was at its knees. And therefore, in essence, we have a huge difficulty, Chair, to say that with that collapse in systems and in everything, there's a dual function at the table.
All right. No, you see, Titi, that's why I was skeptical of your intervention. What the DG has said does not absolve the board that is here. No. The context is good, but it must not create the impression of a committee that's going to be understanding, because you are successors in law. You assume responsibility, and our expectation is that the first thing that you will do is do what you are doing. Look backwards to what you are inheriting so you can understand it and be able to provide the answers. And if the people who did these things are not here, it should come out of the hearing, because then what follows is what charges have been laid for that. I think, colleagues, just may I crave your indulgence. How the board has been in place since? Well, that is 18 days, 12 days into the new financial year, the year under review in any case. So, can somebody just check, are those bells for voting, or are they for the... Right, colleagues, I'll request that we suspend the hearing for 10 minutes. The bells will be ordinarily 5 minutes, I think. We'll vote and then come back. Thank you. That's the difficulty with meeting during a sitting. So, right, I think it's one vote, no, it's just one. Right. Yeah, we will. The administration will remain, colleagues. We would request members of parliament to quickly go down to the house.